Hey, this is the Infamous Podcast. I'm Brian.
This is Johnny.
And this is episode 118, Babysitting Mind Lions. And we're just going to give a little disclaimer. We are not sponsored by Netflix.
But we wouldn't complain if we were.
Hey, Netflix, give us a call. Anyway, this week we have a bunch of new stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
Which is kind of atypical for lately, but it's fun nonetheless. We are talking about season 4 of Voltron Legendary Defender, season 1 of Mindhunter, and the Netflix original movie, The Babysitter.
They're all Netflix originals.
Well, they are all Netflix originals. That's absolutely right. Where do you want to start?
Let's start about the subscription service to Netflix.
Actually, if you're interested in helping the show out, we do have a Patreon page. It's infamouspodcast.patreon.com, and you can go there, join our patron,
become a Patreon.
Become a Patreon. Actually, if you go and check out the homepage, because we just got a new logo, there's a link to go to Amazon and buy some cool comics, and you know, we might get something out of that. Who knows?
You can also get Stranger Things season 1 on Amazon.
There you go.
Produced by Netflix.
Netflix sponsor us. Anyway, but no, so we do have a new logo. I don't know. I like it. I'm very proud of it. You gave a lot of great insights to it. So, it's very much a joint effort.
Looking at it 2 in the morning and looking at it at 8 in the morning are 2 different things.
Anyway, on that note,
because I was staying up late watching Netflix.
Yeah, well. Man, I've probably watched more Netflix in the last week than I have in the last month, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, between Voltron, Mindhunter, and The Babysitter.
Yeah.
And then I watched the other one with Bella Thorne. She Gets Me or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I watched The Babysitter again last night. Because why not?
Okay.
Anywho. All right. So let's start with Voltron.
Sure.
Okay. So Voltron season 4. The 6 episodes.
Season 3.5. Come on.
No, okay.
I know.
Did you see the quote from Joaquin DeSantos? So he was talking about this and how it was Netflix who came to them and said, hey, we're going to break up the seasons like this because that way we can have new Voltron every couple months.
Well, right. It's the whole do it once a quarter instead of once a year.
So season 5 is going to be in like February.
Right.
But they were just talking about how like things like Trollhunter and some of that other stuff where, you know, it just takes longer to get there.
Right.
And, you know, he was like, man, I wish I would have actually thought of that because they were hesitant at first.
But it's the whole breaking it up and, you know, making you want more.
Well, in the cliffhangers that they've ended on for season 3 and 4.
Yeah.
We're right there. I mean, it's, you know, I can't wait until February.
Right.
At this point. It's like, let's skip Star Wars and get straight to
Vehicle
the next season
Voltron.
Of Voltron. I think we'll see Vehicle Voltron by the end of 2018. I don't think we'll see it when we come back.
No, not when we come back.
So, but anyway, so
but I think that, I think that's where, you know, something that happens with this season with Pidge's brother returning. Yeah. That's where we're going to get the Vehicle Voltron.
You think he'll be the leader?
Yeah, and all those other aliens that are part of the Voltron Coalition.
That would be pretty cool.
Well, and that would make sense. The Voltron Coalition, somebody creates a vehicle Voltron.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Do we want to go episode by episode or just talk about the season as a whole?
Because we can just talk about the season as a whole. 6 episodes?
It's less runtime than Batman v Superman.
Yeah.
So, okay. You know, I mean, and we talked about that one.
I've never really paid attention to the time.
They're right around 23 minutes.
Are they, like, they're made for, like if they
25.
Were on TV?
Yeah, they could put them on TV. I mean, right. If you watch, there's kind of natural commercial breaks.
Right.
You know, natural cuts, at least.
Right.
So what were the highlights of the season for you?
Lotor?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed his story arc.
Yeah.
And that, still questioning the whole thing with Shiro.
So you
did you go back and watch that?
I did.
And it said that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you think he's a clone or some alternate,
like a mole or something.
Yeah, well there's that. So maybe he's Shiro from like the alternate timeline.
I don't think he's that. That guy was Finn.
Well, but then the I guess that would be true. I don't know. I think though, I loved Keith's arc this season.
Yeah,
watching him kind of embrace the Galra way.
Yeah,
or well, at least the Blade of Memora Galra way, was really interesting. And I don't know if you found it weird, just from being the age that we are and fans of Ultron from when we were, to see Keith just kind of completely shirk his Voltron duties.
It was that thing where he didn't want him in the first place.
Well, right. He never wanted to be the leader. I mean, he loved flying the Red Lion, but he never wanted the Black Lion. I liked the hesitation on the Black Lion when it went back to Shiro.
Right, because it's not the Shiro that it was dealing with before.
Right. Yeah, it's a different version.
So. Clone number three. Clone number three.
Shiro number eight.
Well, he is. He's like Shiro three or something. Yeah. Because I think they said the third clone has escaped or something.
So,
very curious to see where that is going to, where that's going to turn out to be.
Again, I think we won't see that when we come back. Nah. We'll see that before the end of the year, though.
That'll be like before the end of the series. I think that's going to be a long game.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you look at what,
Well, how many episodes are they supposed to be producing?
I think they want to do like 100.
Well, then they got a while to go.
I thought I read, and you know, obviously, like, this is my faulty memory,
right?
That they were going to try and do more than the original, which the original got to just over 100. So, right. Who knows? I loved the reality show one where Coran went crazy.
Oh yeah, the Voltron show.
The Voltron show. I love Rhys Darby.
Yeah.
The voice of Coran.
Right, yeah.
And like having him be front and center that episode the way he was and going, I mean, Coran's a little crazy as it
is. Sure, yeah.
And but then just like going crazier,
totally crazy.
And crazier and crazier and crazier. And, you know, Lance was all in. That was the best part about it.
Yeah.
Like Lance loved being part of the Voltron show. None of the other ones were really into it. Princess Allura, the faces that they drew on her were just priceless.
Well, wasn't she Keith?
She had to be Keith. Yeah. And they Lance started calling her
they
Keith.
They don't know that Keith's not there, so you've got to be Keith.
You're Keith.
Yeah.
And when Lance kept calling her Keith, like offset was the best.
Yeah.
You know, and then the episode with Pidge reunion where Katie finds Matt.
Yeah.
It was touching, man. That was some like hardcore emotional
bounty
manipulation.
Hunter,
yeah,
like seeing that there's actually bounty hunters out there looking for these people.
Yep,
and that it's not just, you know, the Galra.
Yeah.
That they've hired people.
I feel like this season made it a much bigger universe.
You got to see a lot of aliens,
So flying over the different worlds.
Best alien of the whole season, the one on the Voltron show.
Beater, beater. Yep. Beep, boop, beep, boop.
Beep, boop, beep, boop.
So he sounded like Beaker.
He sounded like Beaker, and I thought of the burbles, too.
Oh, yeah, he did sound a little bit like a burble.
But, burble, you know, like, Bill. It was totally one of those things where it's like, you know, you kind of watch shows where they do that, where they have a character that doesn't speak English, and you totally know what they're saying.
Right.
But you're like, well,
like, the perfect example of that is Chopper.
Yeah.
On Rebels. Yeah. You know, and it's like
Chopper gets really close to English sometimes.
Well, he does, and he gets so mad. Chopper's so great. Chopper was good this week. So with Rebels, guys, just heads up, we are gonna talk about it, but we're gonna talk about it at the split. So we'll talk about the first half of the season and then we'll talk about the last half just because.
When is the split? Right before Christmas?
Right before Christmas. Yeah. It's gonna be like 8-8. So
makes sense.
We're not gonna talk about The Walking Dead again.
I haven't watched it yet. It's on the DVR, but
I just can't do it. All right, so I feel like this season we had a lot of stakes.
Well, this season was, you know, pretty much the answer to what happened last season with them setting up everything.
Right.
This is where we got an actual, you know, battle in that.
Yeah. The what was that planet, Nexala? Is that how they pronounced it?
What, the one at the end? Or?
Yeah, Noxzella.
I don't remember.
Coolest use of gravity as a weapon ever.
Yeah, that was...
When they...
Well, for them, they explained that that wasn't a Galra weapon. It was a terraforming device that...
The Allurans.
Allura's...
Yeah, it was Allurian technology and everything.
Yeah.
you know, the relation, like, so that was awesome. In that episode, we got a little more of the mother son thing between Hagar and Lotor.
Yeah.
Like, he actually called her mom.
Yeah.
Which he hadn't done at all. He just called her you witch.
Yeah.
You know, Zarkon's new bot suit,
battle suit was pretty freaking cool. Zarkon.
So I'm looking right now. Like, I have all five lions, and right. I have the three paladins who are out already. Right. They are not putting out enough toys for this show. I want the Galra Blade of Mora version of Keith as
an
action figure.
Do you feel like that's just because it's a Netflix show, or
I think so. I think they're more worried about the show than the toys.
Well, it's produced by Playmates,
right?
Which does Turtles, yeah. Ben 10, yeah. and that. That's the only three lines they're doing.
But
this is the most risky line they're doing.
I agree. There's more turtle toys.
Well, yeah, but turtles, like, sell.
There's new Ben 10 toys that just came out.
Right. The Ben 10 toys will sell just because it's still, like, on people's minds.
Yeah. I think what they need to do.
And they look cool.
I think putting out the figures and less of, like, the lions and the various versions of Voltron would probably help make that line work a little bit.
We didn't need metal lions.
When they're not even metal, like, just the backs.
Yeah, they're just, like, partially metal.
Yeah, quote-unquote die-cast. Where right. you go, Playmates.
Yeah.
If you want to sponsor us, you know, that's fine, too. let's just start shilling for sponsorships the whole episode. That
hey,
won't get
Playmates, old. That would be awesome. So. I mean, you know, I buy a lot of the Turtles figures, oh, yeah. so, you know.
Me, too. So, I'm looking at that.
But, I mean, Finn Balor, Leo. Yeah. Like, you know. There's some of the Ben 10 figures I probably will pick up.
Those Ben 10 figures are cool. Speaking of Netflix series with figures, have you seen the Trollhunter figures?
No.
Those are pretty
I haven't
sweet.
Seen the Trollhunter series. Oh, sorry, Netflix. Wow. I haven't had time to watch
wow.
that one.
Oh, it's poor Netflix. It's okay. We watched it all.
You know, if we were sponsored by Netflix, I'd feel inclined to have to watch everything they produce.
So, Lotor's three ships that they made.
Yeah.
Are they going to form into something? Or do you
that's,
think
well, that's
going to be salvaged
well,
to make the car?
I thought that was kind of like, I don't know if it was or not, but I thought they were going to turn into robots. And there was three different Voltrons. When right. I was a kid, I remember yeah. three different Voltrons. And one was three robots that formed into one giant
right.
six-armed robot. And then there was vehicle, and there was lions.
I mean, because all and three of those ships look like arms.
Huh,
they
like,
look like arms.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I was like, huh, that kind of looks like that might be. And then they didn't turn into robots, so yeah. I was like, okay. They one, did go into the parallel universe,
they
even
did,
though they didn't show anything.
Well, because they're still there. Well, the ship is, at
the
least.
The ship's there.
So.
Are his lieutenants are all there too, or did they come back?
They came back, I think.
I think
if I remember,
well, at least
correctly.
The cat looking one did because he ejected her from the.
Yeah, and he killed the one
because
he was working with Hagar.
Because Hagar had taken that one over,
and then
they were all she's.
She's yeah.
Yeah,
and then the one is totally Keith's sister.
You keep saying that
it's
yeah.
totally Keith's sister, because she could have killed Keith a
what
couple
if she,
times and didn't.
What if she flies the Black Lion eventually?
That would be cool.
Ooh, yeah.
A straight up Galra flying in.
Well, I mean, a Galra flew it before.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Zarkon.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, you know, that whole origin episode where they showed the five
from
races.
Last season,
yeah,
yeah,
it's like, okay.
So,
we know that Lion Voltron can be. The Paladins can be anybody from any races.
Right.
It's just for some reason Earth had to be involved at this point.
Well, you know, I mean, it's
because they
rebooting.
Have to introduce yeah. Vehicle Voltron.
Exactly.
And that's
so
now I do hope that you know they once the Galra thing doesn't drag out too long and they explain why those five were picked as paladins.
Yeah, that would be
and
interesting.
Why Earth has to be why Earth is involved at this point because. Earth wasn't involved in any of that
no
stuff.
It just happened to have the blue lion
yeah they
that
just
was
knew yeah why is the blue why was the blue lion put on Earth
it's mostly water
oh well, yeah sure there's another reason or something
I'm sure there is anyway
besides Vehicle Voltron there's some reason
I think six seasons were a little too short or six episodes was
six
a little
episodes.
Too short I could have used at least one. I could have used one more I would have liked eight.
You know what I'd like if they're going to do one more
yeah.
to do it like that finale on the last one where it tells a story about the history
mm-hmm.
of the universe
yeah.
that Voltron existed.
Yeah, like do six proper.
Yeah.
And then an epilogue where it's like more about the world. The world.
I mean, we've seen enough, but it's like we need to see more. We need to go back to Olora's father and back to that stuff and, you know, just see how that all happened.
Yeah, because you kind of got the feeling they built Voltron just because.
Yeah.
You know, and there had to be.
I've got an idea. It involves lions.
Lions. I don't know what a lion is.
I was going to say.
I don't have a lion on my planet.
Right.
But.
Well, and that's. Yeah. Are there lions on their planet? Or were there lions on their planet?
I don't know. There's
lions. I don't know. It would be interesting to see, like, the explanation of why the blue lion ended up where it was.
Yeah.
Where it was.
Yeah, why
Earth.
They ended up where they were.
Keith's parentage would be a good flashback story.
Or, like, just the allusion to it, at least.
Yeah.
Like, meet Keith as a kid kind of a thing.
Living well, no,
on,
you just
living
go
on
back
a
and find
spaceship,
out why his
know.
Dad.
Yeah.
Why his dad got involved with the Galra.
Yeah.
Or did
or
he
mom,
know he was
or,
involved with the Galra? Yeah.
Or who, which of his parents were involved
with the
Galra? Well,
they've shown his dad.
Well, but was it his dad?
Yeah, I'm not going to, like, argue with that.
All right. All in, super strong season.
Yeah.
Again, has me wanting more and more and more. So I'm.
They've got you then.
Dude, they do.
Netflix drug dealer.
I'm so excited. All for that, what is it, $11 a month now or whatever it is? They raised their price again.
They what?
They raised the prices again. You don't know.
I just pay.
You just pay. Anyway, all right. So next up on the Netflix-a-thon.
Netflix-a-thon.
We have Mindhunter.
Yeah.
Now, you did not finish Mindhunter.
I haven't finished it yet.
So we won't talk about the last episode. And actually, we're going to try and not spoil too much of this.
I was going to say, we just talk about that it's a really well-done show.
It
that
is.
That if you like murder mysteries, this is a good one. It's not as much of a procedural as you would think it is.
Well, it's not a procedural really at all.
Not really.
It's more of a...
It's more of the, like, teaching you...
It's a thriller.
Teaching you why there's procedurals.
Yeah.
Because it's based off of true events and that.
So the book that it's based off is called Mindhunter, Inside the FBI's Elite Serial Crime Unit. And it's written by John E. Douglas and Mark Olshaker, which is an awesome last name, Olshaker.
Yeah, and John E. Douglas is who one of the characters is based off of.
Right. It's that was Ed. Sorry. That was he was one of the FBI agents.
Yeah.
I think that's Holt. McCallany.
Oh, Bill Tinch character. Yeah.
All right. So I want to talk about the cast for a minute because I feel like it was a relatively small cast with a whole bunch of just supporting players because, you know, they did the road school.
Right.
And when I say they, I'm talking about Holt McCallany's Bill Tinch, who is works in the behavioral sciences department of the FBI,
which in the 1970s the behavioral science department isn't what it is today.
No,
because, and they say it in the show, one of the teachers says that the FBI was formed to catch, like, a lot of criminals.
Right.
They were like
gangsters.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They mentioned specifically, like, Al Capone,
Babyface Nelson,
and all that. That's what they were there for.
Yeah, what's his name? They got shot outside the movie theater.
John Dillinger.
Dillinger, yeah. Dillinger,
you know,
and Babyface Nelson.
Considering
and...
I'm not a huge fan of, like, mafia stuff.
Right.
Like, I like, Goodfellas, I like.
Sure.
That kind of stuff. Like, I sure know a lot about the mafia. Anyway.
That's because that was fed to us, like, in the 80s
and
90s. 80s and
90s,
so, yeah.
That
was
spoon-fed. So, you know.
The whole point of it is that at this point, they aren't encountering gangster-type killings, that type of thing. They're encountering stuff that is weird and strange.
Right.
I mean, this show, at a certain point, has the X-Files vibe going big time, and it's not even anything to do with X-Files. It's just where they get put at, where their office is, and Anna Torv.
It's the whole...
Because Anna Torv
throws
off
French.
An X-Files. X-Files vibe.
And there's the whole, like, you know, first they start calling them, not before serial killers, I just had in my head.
What?
I am completely blanking. What he called them at first. Anyway,
so, I don't remember.
Yeah, I forget now. I had it in my head and
well, they were coming up with all the worst names ever. Yeah. You know, they were freak shows and that type of stuff. Yeah.
And so you have Jonathan Groff, who plays Holden Ford.
Yeah.
And he's the main character.
He still hasn't broken the song, and I'm on the ninth episode.
I was going to say, if that name sounds familiar, he was King George in Hamilton on Broadway. He's the voice of Kristoff in Frozen. He was on Glee for a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the guy is he's a song and dance man.
Mm-hmm.
Man, he crushes this role.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give a lot of credit to David Fincher for this, but we'll get to that. And then you have Hannah Gross, Anna Torv, who was Dr. Wendy Carr. And my favorite part about watching this had nothing to do with me watching this.
Yeah.
It was a text I got from you.
Yeah.
When you're like, and it was about something, and you said, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
And it has to deal with
her.
Yeah,
they broadside you.
And it was like, wow.
Well,
like,
because
you don't get broadsided often.
It's one of those things where it is the 70s. This is like,
right.
Starts out in the early, mid 70s. And by the end of this season, it's getting closer to the 80s. It's not in the 80s yet, it's like closer to the late 70s. And, you know, back then, a lot of things were different. So when something happens, it totally caught me off guard for a second. Like, oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
Because they make you think one thing about her and then it's something else.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not an alien. The name of this show sounds like some kind of sci-fi.
The box art and everything. Like, it made it look like it was some sort of sci-fi thing if you didn't know better.
Yeah, watch the trailer before you decide to watch this show because I told somebody at work that it's a really good show, but it's dark. I mean,
it's dark, it's explicit. There is
it delves into a lot of the like
this isn't a spoiler, but there is a killer that they come up against who like mutilates his victims and they find parts of the victim in his house.
Yeah.
You know, which is it's very graphic in nature. Now they don't show the
Show a lot of the graphics.
They don't show the killings. It's the crime scene photos, which are never the focal point of the shot.
Yeah, and like they actually use real serial killers.
Yeah.
I mean Kemper, Brutos and Speck were real serial killers and they appear in the show.
Right. And they talk about Charles Manson constantly, which was cool.
Well, because Manson's the holy grail we want to talk to him.
Okay, so you brought up Edmund Kemper. I feel like that's a great segue. He's played by a guy named Cameron Britton, who I've never heard of. I hadn't seen him in anything before. Man, was he creepy and awesome.
The way he sat.
Brilliant.
Yeah. You know, yeah, he has a very physical...
And he's huge. He's 6'9".
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got these big... I mean, like, I have pretty big hands. You have pretty big hands. And, like, I feel like his whole hand could probably cut most of my head.
Yeah.
You know, that's how, like, big this guy was. And the way he... Just the way he delivered everything. And the inflection in his voice and things like that. It was like...
Or the non-inflection.
Well, yeah. it's like this guy's totally a sociopath and you know, like he's in here for a reason, but man, I kind of like him.
Well, and that was the thing about him. He was a likable person. Right. He's already been in the system for 3 or 4 years when they meet him.
Right.
And that, so he's already been in this prison. He knows everybody by their first names. Yeah. He's very friendly because that's what type of person he
is. He's like Red from Shawshank. He can get anything for you. You know,
it was one of those things where it's like this show's smart in the sense that, and I'm sure the book probably does it too. It shows you that these people, these serial killers, are just people with one little thing wrong. And it is the worst thing ever.
What was it? The Punisher tells Daredevil, you're one bad day from being me.
Yeah,
you know? And that's kind of what this is. Like, you know.
Except for them, it's not the one day bad thing. It's not, there's not something setting them off. It's something in their brain that just like says, it's okay, go ahead and kill her.
Your one weird brain chemistry. Yeah.
It's like the Brutos with the shoes and the, you know. Yeah, it was just one of those things where it's like, yeah, they're... you know, there's a fascination with serial killers. And that anyways, and watching this, it's like you find them more fascinating because the portrayals of them do not make them seem like psychopaths.
They're not monsters.
Right.
Necessarily. I mean, they're monsters.
Well, even Spec says it. You know, the rest of them are crazy. I'm fine.
Yeah.
and you're like, yeah, okay.
All the way around. But,
yeah, sure. I'm not going to argue with you.
The mind frack that they do to Spec, too, or, well, that Holden does to Spec.
Yeah.
Was crazy. And, you know,
well, you keep questioning, like, his mentality.
Right.
Like, I'd be curious to just, like, skim the book or whatever to see if the partner that, you know, Douglas had.
Yeah.
Was close to the edge.
Yeah.
At times, because that's what Holden comes off as.
So when you watch the last episode, it'll, like, there's things that will become more clear. And there was, I thought that maybe, and again, not spoiling, maybe they were setting him up that, like, oh, he's going to go out and try this.
Yeah.
But then it's like, that's Dexter. And we don't need that.
The cool thing is, at the beginning of each episode, there's stuff going on in Kansas.
Yeah. Park City, Kansas.
I'm not going to say, but you'll recognize it if you know.
And I didn't, in like, once I you had to said tell it, you, yeah. Well, and once you said it, I was like, oh, yeah, but I'd completely forgotten about that, which is
And the reason why is because I read up on that guy because of a story Stephen King wrote.
Right.
Where he actually got in trouble.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't get in trouble, but he, like, was sued and all that.
But, like,
that killer, like,
that
the way they're doing
one
him,
I'm
like,
I wasn't super familiar with.
Well, you caught what's going on?
I did. I caught it in the
I think at the beginning of the 9th episode, it's actually he's done some of the stuff.
Well, and he was
when he's sitting at the dining room table.
Right. And he was active. That particular serial killer was active for
a long time, maybe
more.
They don't know how how long, because he never told them how long he had been doing it. He just told them a lot of stuff.
So, I agree.
He's one of the scarier ones. I mean, he was married.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of these.
He was literally the guy they're like, I never would have imagined.
Yeah,
he
never
did that,
thought that before. Like, you know, his daughter and that still, like, you know, like, nobody thought.
So, Anatorv and the tuna, how far have you gotten with that? I forget what the payoff for that is. I think it's
ants,
in the last episode.
Ants
you got
tuna.
The ants. Okay. Yeah. So, David Fincher, like, so she thought it meant one thing, and David Fincher told her what it really meant.
Okay.
And it is terrifying.
Okay.
So, I'll tell you afterwards, but it doesn't spoil anything.
After the episode?
No, it doesn't spoil anything about that. I don't want to give anybody any other insights other than she's feeding a stray cat. All right. We have to talk about Debbie.
She's feeding a stray cat.
We have to talk about Debbie.
No. Meow, meow. Anybody can do that.
I'll explain it. Like, you know, it's David Fincher's explanation of it is awesome and terrifying. All right.
Yeah, he don't need to direct a Star Wars movie. Just do stuff like this.
Dude, this is his bread and butter, man. Like, you go back and you look at Seven.
Yeah.
And the characters that he created in
Seven. Look at Alien 3.
Yeah.
Like, Alien 3 has a lot of these psychopaths in it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't know if he was a fan of, you know, serial killers or that.
He was a subscriber to Joyce from Time Life Books.
That's what I'm saying, though. So. A lot of the prisoners on that Fiorni planet are people that are like these people.
They're these people.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay. He's always had a fascination with serial killers and criminals, I would assume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, well, Fight Club.
And Seven and The Game. Yeah.
Which, that's why I'd like seeing Holt McCallany.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he was the character in Fight Club.
I forgot he was in Fight
Club.
He's been in a bunch of stuff.
He was in a great show. It was an FX show. It was called Lights Out. It was only on for one season, where he was a boxer, Lights Out Murphy
Yeah, I remember
that.
Where
he was the champ, and he was getting ready to retire. And, like, you know, it was this whole thing. And, man, that was 12 episodes of just gold when it came to acting and writing and that kind of stuff. It's on Netflix, actually.
Oh, okay.
So it's totally worth watching. But I want to talk about Debbie for a second. And Debbie, who is played by Hannah Gross, I think is the biggest psychopath of them all on this show.
She's crazy.
She is insane. And she was Holden's girlfriend. The scene where they meet was one of the most uncomfortable, like, meet cutes ever.
Did it feel like like she was stalking him.
I didn't get that.
Well, I mean, like stalking him, like he was prey. Like she's a killer and he was prey.
That's where, yeah. Now that I got, like she was, so she's a grad student at UVA. Right. She studies psychology. And Holden goes through this crazy, like, character arc where, yeah, like, he's not the same. Like, even where you are in episode 9, he is definitely not the same person we met in episode 1.
Oh, no, no, not at all.
And when you get to season 10, or episode 10, it's even a little worse.
Yeah.
But she pushed that. She kept pushing him.
Yeah.
And he, like, whereas, you know, Bill didn't talk to his wife about everything.
Right.
Holden told Debbie way too much.
Telling her, too much stuff.
And I think that he genuinely had feelings for her. I don't feel like she ever had feelings for him.
No.
He was a psychological experiment.
Yeah, and that's exactly what, like I said, she treated him like prey.
Yeah. And, and you know, the way that ends and you know, everything with him.
Just the way it's been going, I'm like, well, when's she going to come after him with a knife? Because yeah, I'm like, well, man, that's what it feels like.
Season two.
well, maybe.
But no, she was... she was such a cool character to watch, though, because here she is. She's this cat with this little mouse named Holden.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Batting
him
back and forth. And, you know, it was, you know, he brought things from her into his life, like into the FBI life.
Yeah.
But then as he goes through everything as an agent and he brings it back into, like, especially the bedroom.
Yeah.
Like, he's struggling.
She comes in with the stiletto heels on after they go and talk to Brutus.
Yep.
I'm like, what game is she playing? It's like, what's her game?
Well, and especially when he says to her, this isn't you. And she says it's not supposed to be.
Right.
It's like, all right, dude, you need to run from this girl as fast as you can.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious to see where that game's going.
Yeah. Hopefully she's back for season two.
We'll see.
Yes, we will.
Excuse me.
But yeah, I think when you look at this, and especially as you'll probably watch the end tonight, won't you?
Yeah, probably later on tonight.
So it's a whole story. But it's broken up into these little snippets of time. So each...
Well, yeah, like, that's what I mean.
Like every, like, two episodes is like a time capsule, right?
Yeah, time.
It's like you might call it slow.
I don't feel that
way,
though.
I feel like it's paced specifically.
Well, it's what? Each episode is like 55 minutes.
There's one episode that's like 39, but yeah, like...
They did the same thing they did with OA kind of thing. But it didn't feel like... Even the 55-minute ones did not feel like 55 minutes.
They never felt like 55 minutes. And I would typically...
Because they set a pace where it's like, you know, not too fast, but fast enough where you're getting information, but you're not getting so much information that you're going, wait a minute, what?
Right.
I mean, like, especially like when they're hunting down the actual, like, few killers they first start catching on. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, that was interesting how they did that.
I think the real interesting thing, too, was not just the actual crimes that they solved, but the pushback that they got from prosecutors and police and judges and academics and the FBI.
Yeah.
Like, I think without these guys, like, especially in real life.
Right.
Things would be bad.
Yeah.
Things would not be, you know,
They've caught a lot of people, the behavioral science group especially, have caught a lot of people that wouldn't have got caught if they would have just said, we don't need a behavioral science group.
But they've also given psychologists and guidance counselors and teachers
the power to be able to watch these kids,
ability to recognize when there's an issue that can be headed off before that issue is
before the wiring goes really bad.
Right. Like again, like Dexter, right?
Right.
Like when Harry figures out what Dexter is, and as a cop, instead of like, you know, like, hey, we need to work through this and, you know, there's things that we can do to make sure this doesn't happen. No, they lean into it.
He created his own vigilante.
And it's because he was a disenfranchised police officer. Like what these guys are doing, again, like you know, like you said, it's given the power to the right people to identify and act.
Right. Well, and it's the whole thing, like, was it Kemper that told Holden, yeah, there's probably about 35 of us.
Yeah.
And he's like, that many? And it's like, nah, that shouldn't be surprising because, you know, not to sound, you know, like a sociopath myself, but there's always going to be that group that is there to thin the herd.
Yeah.
And I, and you know, 35 of them for the, you know,
at the time, 250 million people yeah. in America.
So, I mean, yeah. That's what it's thinning the herd.
And that was
thing.
Just the active ones,
right?
You know,
yeah.
That's not even the ones that, you know,
have it in them, but don't, right. you know, have enough morality or haven't got a taste of it that they didn't do anything about it.
They because, haven't had that one bad day.
Yeah. Well, so. And it's that whole thing where, you know, Kemper talked about as a kid. So it's like some of these kids were, you know, pushed to the wayside.
Yeah.
They have it in them, but they had someone who actually cared about them.
Right.
That's where the one bad day thing comes in with these serial killers is most of them is they weren't loved by anybody.
No. And I think Holden.
Yeah.
Like if Holden wasn't in the FBI.
Right.
He'd be a serial
killer. One of these. Yeah. So if he didn't have, like he talks about his mom.
Yeah.
And now his mom, he loves his mom. He.
Yeah, he talks to her every day.
Talks to her every day and all that. It's like if you don't have that, then you could, you know, go to the definite dark side.
Yep. So at the end of the day, this, if you're into this kind of thing, or if you're into interesting thriller type shows that are suspenseful but like kind of educational at the same time.
Yeah, this one was different.
It is well worth watch. It's not it's not a documentary. It's not, you know, it's not the true story. It's based on the true story.
How many of the episodes of Fincher direct? Did he just direct the first or did
I think he did the last one too. I think he did the first two and the last one, just like the first season of House of Cards.
I didn't realize, like I haven't really watched the credits since the first one. Charlize Theron.
She's the executive producer.
Yeah.
So I mean this is under her company.
That's interesting.
And everything. So you know.
I didn't have her has she ever worked with David Fincher or even?
Yeah, on House of Cards.
Charlize Theron?
She's the executive producer.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Huh.
Here. There's this nifty little tool I can go to look that up.
The encyclopedia?
Mm-hmm. The encyclopedia. The encyclopedia IMDb-ica.
Ah, there you go.
That's a stretch. Oh,
Googlepedia would have been okay.
There you go. So this show has already been picked up for a second season.
Yeah, I seen that.
It was actually picked up for a second season 6 months before this even aired. That's how confident Netflix has been in this particular show. Let me see here. Let me get to the
Netflix. Right. What would we have do without Netflix?
I'd be really bored.
Have to buy everything.
Be really broke.
Thanks, Netflix. You keep charging me $11 a month, and I'll keep watching you.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Except I got to make sure that I turn my Roku off when I go on vacation next time and I'm out of the city for a like week and a half. I literally like...
Oh, yeah.
Because of that, Netflix was acting wonky, and I turned a babysitter on, and like it kicked me out twice before I even got to start it.
I'm sorry. She was the executive producer on Girl Boss. I knew it was Netflix, but...
I haven't watched that one either.
But no, I don't think she's worked with
I didn't know if she had been in any of his movies or anything, or
it doesn't look like it.
Huh. Okay.
He didn't direct 2 Days in the Valley, did he?
No, I don't think so.
He didn't direct The Italian Job, did he?
No.
I don't think they've worked together. But yeah.
Okay.
Girl Boss is interesting.
Yeah.
Lots of people hated it. It's like pretty panned.
But it's got what's her name from Tomorrowland in it, right?
Britt Robinson or whatever.
I like her though. So,
we can talk about it off the air. I actually enjoyed it. I don't really have much negative.
That
to
could
say
be
about
another
it.
Episode.
So
not sponsored by Netflix.
All right. So this is definitely
we're
one, just
gonna start doing commercials that are hi. We're not sponsored by Netflix, but
welcome to the Infamous Podcast. We're not sponsored by Netflix, but get it done, Netflix.
And then we'll get an email going. Would you like to?
No, we'll get an email. Stop it. Cut it. They'll just send us a meme.
Cut it out, guys.
They'll just send us a meme of Joey Gladstone.
Cut it out. Would it be from Netflix's Fuller House?
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
You like how I did that?
I do. I kind of set it up. So anyway. All right. So I do have to say.
And I still haven't listened to the episode, but when Netflix produces Family Matters More.
Of all the like original series that have come out prior over the past year, including the Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
Top three.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Top three. Easy.
Well produced. Creepy
probably
enough.
Probably right below the OA for me.
Put it to you this way. If you watch this show, you're going to get the creeps.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys, these actors, and they should be nominated for Emmys and that. They really are creepy.
I didn't expect this when I saw Jonathan Groff's name was on there. I did not expect the control that he has.
I didn't realize Anna Torv was in it until I watched the trailer, and then I was like, oh, I'll watch this.
I thought it was Carrie Coon at first from the Leftovers.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like,
was she in 1922, isn't she?
Yeah.
The other Netflix.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. But, did you watch that?
Not yet. Okay. I said I was going to watch it, but I watched The Babysitter again. Because we're going
to. Sorry, that's another Netflix-produced television series or television movie.
Anyway.
From the mind of Stephen King.
So she looks completely different from her character on Fringe with the haircut.
She looks more like the other universe.
I didn't get that far.
Okay.
I only watched the first 7 episodes. And from what I understand, I need to just skip the rest
of season
1 and
go to
season 2.
You need to go to the end of the season 1. I watched the last episode because it sets up everything else.
Yeah.
But she looks more like that character.
Okay.
That character had straight red long hair.
Okay.
And I'm like, this looks like an older version of that character. Ah, and I'm like, but I like her with the brown hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a very pretty lady. Great actress. Great.
Like, and it's the same, you know, she's in a procedural that doesn't have the weirdness of Fringe, but has the weirdness of serial killers.
Yeah.
So it still feels like the same character.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I don't have that baggage to bring with me, so. All right.
That's not bad baggage.
No, trust me.
That's like Person of Interest. I tell you, you got to watch that one,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I know. I'll get there. Oh, by the way. See episode what,
Dramatic
four?
Pause.
Episode 4 of The Inhumans?
Yeah.
Has now been the worst episode of the series.
Oh, okay.
So they've gotten consecutively worse.
Oh, wow.
Like episode 1 now is kind of looking okay.
Yeah.
So it's like we watched Batman versus Superman the other day.
Yeah, yeah, you told me
and,
that.
And the wife was like, oh, now I understand why people liked Wonder Woman. Because she didn't like Wonder Woman.
Right.
So
she just didn't like the women empowerment thing.
Well, she's all about that.
I know.
But it's, yeah. All right.
And I'm excited. Did say the Justice League is like going to be the shortest DC
They said that the editors cut out like
50 minutes.
Was it 50? I thought it was like 50. 31.
I heard 50.
But
I'm like, what? Wait, what's?
Well, it's so that they can do the ultimate cut again.
Yeah, well.
You know, and sell Blu-rays.
That's fine. I'll buy the ultimate cut if that's not the cut I see in the theater I can watch a different version
of it. I've seen a ton of like comments like, if you guys keep doing this, we're only going to buy the DVDs. We're not going to go to the movies anymore.
What do you mean? Like the ultimate cuts?
Yeah, the ultimate cuts from the DC stuff.
Because that's fine if they want to. If people want to do that, and whatever.
I don't know, but all right,
stop whining and just go see the movies.
Quit whining.
Jeez. If you're that if you're that unhappy with it, just don't go.
Yeah,
just don't go.
Like,
you know what that means for me? That means that I won't have you sitting behind me complaining the whole time about you don't like this and you don't like
exactly.
that. That's what I get tired of.
Yeah. Like, for the most part.
That's why I still haven't seen It. Because I'm going to go see It soon.
Yeah.
Because I know nobody else is seeing It now.
So we were there with a bunch of high school kids.
You missed that.
I don't.
You had the opportunity to go
see
what?
Say what?
See what?
But that's your joke. I don't want to steal that from you.
You could have done it. Now I'm disappointed in you.
When we were at It, there was a high school kid. I just had to set you back up for it. There was those high school kids who made it more enjoyable because they freaked out.
Oh, okay. Kind of like The Ring for me where it's
is this your first horror movie, kid?
Maybe. Maybe.
Anyway. All right. Speaking of horror movies, God, look at these segues. They just write themselves.
It's like Netflix came in and told us what to do.
Segue to the next Netflix original.
Dun-dun.
The Babysitter.
Yeah.
I just want to read the description, just the little sentence that
that
they had.
Turn it off?
Yeah. It says here, when Cole stays up past his bedtime, He discovers that his hot babysitter is part of a satanic cult that will stop at nothing to keep him quiet.
Or dude, maybe they're having an orgy.
I was so... Yeah. We'll get to that. But, and we're going to spoil this one. So if you haven't seen it, just pause and come back after you watch it. It's only 90 minutes long. I was all in at that sentence.
I watched the trailer and I was like, okay, so...
Well, I read that first and then I watched the trailer. Right. And then I saw Robbie Amell was in it. And I was like, dude, I'm in. I like it.
Yeah.
Make G's the director... Which he hasn't really done much directing lately.
Not lately. He's been producing a lot of stuff.
It's been a lot of production. You know, I owe Mick G because of Chuck. He brought the Bartowski family into my life.
Subway owes Mick G too.
Yeah, that's true. But man, this was just a fun little movie.
Mick G owes us all for Full Throttle though.
I don't think I saw that one.
You don't need to.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell you what, though, I think the most impressive thing about this movie was Cole.
Yeah.
Who was played by Judah Lewis. That was a hard character to cast.
He's been in a few things. Hasn't he?
Just like three others. Like,
he looked familiar.
Like pretty big stuff.
Yeah.
Like I thought he was the kid from Alexander, the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. But
that's
it's not
him.
No,
right.
That's not. But that was the make or break role of how this. I have it right here. Of how the. How the movie would go for me.
Yeah.
And he...
The performance of that main character?
Yes. And he crushed
it. Because he's main character?
Yeah. But he was in Demolition, and then he was in Point Break. Those are the only other two things he's done.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But did you see Demolition?
No.
With Jake Gyllenhaal?
No.
It's all right. It's interesting. It's not as creepy as Nightcrawler. Oh, God. Point Break. There's 90 minutes I'll never get back from my life.
Makes you want to shoot a gun up in the air, don't it? And no bullets will come down and hit you.
While screaming.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I love him so much.
Yeah.
You know where that's from.
It's from Point Break.
Well, Hot Fuzz when Nick Frost is playing Simon Pegg.
But they do it in the remake.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they remade it, first off.
Well, because... It's the cycle now.
And his name shouldn't have been Johnny Utah in the remake. It should have been like Bill Idaho or something. Just to
Johnny Idaho instead of Johnny. They should have changed the state.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. So
Johnny Ohio.
All right. So we have Judah Lewis as Cole. Samara Weaving as B.
Mm-hmm.
And she's Australian,
mm-hmm.
which I did not. I had never even heard of her before.
I've seen her before.
We have Hannah Mae Lee as Sonia. And Hannah Mae Lee may sound familiar. She's in the Pitch Perfect movie. She plays Lily, the girl who whispers and talks like this. Robbie Amell.
Did that even pick up on her?
Yeah, it did.
Does it pick up when I do that?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, okay.
All right. We had Robbie Amell. We have Bella Thorne, who's on the cover, but is not...
On the cover? What cover? There's a cover?
Well, on the... You know, on the my Netflix at least,
oh, really?
She's like the main thing that you see.
Oh, okay.
In the cheerleader outfit, so I thought she was the main.
That's because cheerleaders sell.
Yeah, and then you have Andrew Batchelor, who you might recognize as King Batch from YouTube, the black guy.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't
he call himself that in the movie at one point?
King Batch?
Yeah.
No, okay. I don't think so. But and then Emily Allen Lind. Who is the sister of Natalie Allen Lind from The Gifted.
Oh, okay.
As Melanie.
You mean the daughter of Dawson's mom from Dawson's Creek.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's who her mom is. Yeah. Barbara Allen Woods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I have Leslie Bibb and Ken Marino. And then I put the bullies in there as well, just because they were the black kid bully Jeremy.
Yeah.
Was the worst part of the movie.
Why does he got to be a black kid?
I don't know. He just was. I want to know why he was wearing a cut-off, like, button-down shirt with a blue t-shirt and a blue headband everywhere.
I want to know why his bike's name was Cindy.
Well, you know. Anyway, the relationship between B and Cole was so fun. The scene where they first start, like, where they're just messing around, they're dancing, they're, you know, making dinner.
You know what it's felt like?
Risky Business?
No. Ex Machina.
Yes.
With the whole dancing thing and that with her and Oscar Isaacs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was like, I'm like, man, I've seen this recently. And then I got to thinking about it. I'm like, was this that? That's that scene. That's that scene from Ex Machina.
You know, I liked Melanie. She was great. She was great for Cole. She's the little neighbor girl. She actually has a crush on Cole, who's like big giant dork.
But he doesn't get it. Because, he has no idea.
Well, he has no confidence.
Right.
The scene with Ken Marino and him in the car where he's trying to teach the 12-year-old how to drive in an empty parking lot. And, you know, this time he got so far as he turned the car on.
Yeah.
You know, which was pretty funny.
Good for you.
It's like,
He's scared of everything.
Everything.
Everything. Like, his mom's underneath the house in the crawl space.
And there's that big tarantula spider.
What the hell is with the giant spiders underneath this house? Where do they live?
I don't know, but I wouldn't go under that house.
The license plate on the car said Illinois. I'm like, those spiders don't live in Illinois.
I'm not going to Illinois anymore. Yeah. I can't say it enough. This movie was so fun to watch.
Let's not spoil it totally.
No.
Yeah.
The
satanic cult is a thing in this movie, but
it's not what you think.
It's not what you think it is. B is, but the rest of them are just along for the ride.
They are.
Robbie Amell's character is like a total psychopath.
Dude, this might be my favorite thing he's ever done.
Yeah.
And I love how when he's chasing Cole, like all through the house.
Yeah, yeah.
All through the yard. He's got him by the throat.
It's Tom and Jerry.
It is.
It's literally
the Road
Tom
Runner
and
Wile E. Coyote.
It had more Tom and Jerry feel to it.
But then the kid's egg in the house, and he's like, you got to go do something about that. In the middle of trying to kill him.
This is America.
And it's like, he's like, you got to stand up for yourself.
Is that your property?
And he just lets him, he's like, he gives him some advice, and he go. And he's like, go, take care of it. And, of course, Cole's like, this guy's trying to kill me.
Yeah.
Can you help me? And Jeremy doesn't believe him, punches him in the face. It was so funny. And I don't know what you thought about this.
Oh, I really enjoyed it.
I just kind of watched it on a lark.
I mean, like, it's got enough gore that it's fun.
Yeah.
Like, the gore is actually fun.
Yeah.
It's got enough humor. And you know what? Thanks, McGee, for using Billy Jack.
Yeah.
Billy Jack doesn't get enough. That was awesome.
I'm going to take this rifle.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit it on that side of your face. I like that. I'm going to take this right foot.
Yeah. That's great in that movie, man.
So
he tells him what he's going to do before he does it.
Well, you pointed it out. That whole first scene between Cole and B.
Yeah.
Is the entire movie.
Yeah.
It spoils.
I'm gonna set everything up right here.
Right, yeah. Samantha Weaving was great. Samara, sorry. I loved when she was telling them what to do with the bullies.
Yeah.
And she's like, you run, and when they get close, you fall and you trip them up, and then you kick them in the dick.
Yep.
It's like, just the inflection she put on that was great.
I just like, and this is another one where you're like, I want to know where she came from.
Well.
Because she talks like she's been doing this for years.
I feel like there's going to be more.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And like, they need to bring back Cole. They need to bring back Allison. Or not Allison. I'm sorry. They need to bring back Melanie. Obviously, they can't bring back Allison. Spoiler. But I do have to say, I'm a very big fan of Bella Thorne as a very beautiful woman.
Yeah.
Her acting is...
She does that character
well. She's got that one character down. Like, I feel like this is her character from Alexander and Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day.
The snobby...
Just as a senior instead of a freshman. Man, she is pretty.
Whew. Yeah.
I think you actually, pointed her out to me, a couple years ago. And
yeah,
you're like,
probably.
Hey, this girl's pretty. You should look at her. And I'm like, oh.
Well, it's one of those things where it's always, and there's nothing to this, but it's always when the Disney girls get older.
What Disney was she in?
I forget what she was in one of the Disney shows.
Okay.
Or Nickelodeon, one or the other. But when they get older, it's like all of a sudden when they're not under the thumb of the Disney rule, they go crazy. And it's like, you're like, oh, hey, I know her now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
She gets out from the house.
Well, I seen her. I know why I pointed her out to you.
Shake it up.
Yeah, shake it up. That's it. But I know why I pointed out her to you was because of Scream.
Yeah, that's right. The TV show.
Yeah,
because
she was in the first. Yeah. She was in the first episode of the MTV series Scream, and she's the Drew Barrymore character.
Yeah, and she was in The Duff. with Robbie Amell.
Yeah, that
was the other thing. So, like, the first time I saw her in anything was Alexander in The Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. But then I saw her in The Duff, which that's not a bad movie either.
No, that's a really good movie.
Mae Whitman is one of the more underrated actresses.
That's
right
an
now.
Underrated movie, really.
Yeah, it's very much.
I bought that on Black Friday and was like, watched it. I'm like, wow, I'm really glad I bought this.
I'm going to make a bold statement right now.
Yeah.
I think Robbie Amell is the superior Amell.
I can't wait to see them in that movie that they're producing.
Yeah.
The future cop movie.
Yeah, the Kickstarter that they did.
Yeah, I hope that actually... Maybe Netflix will
I really liked
throw
him in
money.
The Tomorrow People, which you can watch on
See,
Netflix
See, I haven't
right
watched
now.
That one. Yeah.
So Peyton List, who is Golden Rider.
Yeah.
She was in it. But anyway.
Lucy Lane. She's Lucy Lane from Smallville.
Well, that's true, too.
Peyton List has played probably the most comic book characters around without even intentionally doing
it.
Yeah,
just kind of.
She happened. Lives in Canada. They produce them in Canada. She's in them.
Yeah. Yeah. There are some gruesome kills, for sure. But not too gross. Like,
which is
the
worst
implied.
For you?
Oh, when he pulls the fire poker thing up through the guy's head.
Oh, the cop?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he javelin throws it across the room, and it goes right through his eye, and he's not dead.
Yeah.
And then he's like, but it was gruesome just because of, like, the joy that he felt while he was doing it. But, yeah, like, John.
See, I thought it... Andrew Batchelor's was probably one of the worst ones.
King Batch.
Yeah.
yeah, his was bad, but his was like
expected but not expected. It literally is pay attention to this movie before the satanic cult stuff starts. Just pay attention to everything in every room, everything that's done, because when it pays off, you're like, I didn't even like I seen that, but I wasn't paying attention.
Like that,
to that
registered,
yeah,
but it didn't.
Yeah, it's like one of those things where you walk into a room and you're like, oh yeah, everything in this room, and then like the one thing stands out, and you're like, okay,
yeah,
yeah.
No, I loved John.
Yeah.
You know? He was
man. They got him with the blood hose, like
with the blood. But like
this,
so,
this is another one where McGee borrowed from Sam Raimi. They use the blood hose, which if you've seen the Evil Dead movies, the blood hose is the thing where it's the fire hose, but they didn't use the fire hose. That would have been really extreme. The fire hose that they use where they just spray the red, viscous, watery liquid into the face of, you know, whoever.
Yeah.
And he gets it in this movie continuously.
Like
and I'm like
three times, like three solid times.
Yeah, three different times. And I'm like,
but
okay.
It's his reaction to
it. Oh, yeah.
And he's like.
The two out of three thing was
the best. Two out of three people in America have an STD. I have AIDS. And it's like, oh my God, you're hilarious.
That's the worst thing you can think of now.
But like, okay, so they're the satanic cult, right?
Yeah.
They all want something. Like they're trying to make a deal with the devil.
Yeah.
And his is just to have his mixtape go like platinum or whatever.
Yeah.
Like his is the like actually I think we only learn his and Bella Thorne's.
Well, you can pretty much know that Robbie Amell is—he wants to be the star football player.
But
because when he says he's the quarterback, I'm like, oh, okay.
But the things that
makes the sense of why you're a psychopath,
exactly.
And you want to be a star.
But the things that the two of them ask for that we actually hear about, it's like with a little bit of hard work,
a little bit of work,
even that much.
Well, but it's one of those things where it's this generation where it's like. Mm-hmm. You know, want it quick, want it now.
Yeah.
Make a deal with the devil.
But, I just, you know, like, it's not a great movie. It's not going to win any awards.
Well, it's just one of those.
But it's this time of year, it's the perfect thing for Netflix to put
out. This was a fun, like Halloween comedy. It's a horror comedy.
Yeah.
It is a horror comedy.
What did I watch? I watched the other one, the one with Adam Scott and the Evangeline Lilly.
Little Devil, yeah.
This was way better.
Yeah.
And that was good. I enjoyed it. It had funny moments and stuff like that. Clancy Brown shows up in that one. So I was like,
cool.
Yeah. And, you know, Evangeline Lilly.
Oh, she's in it too?
She's the mom.
Oh, okay.
Of the little boy.
I wasn't paying that close of attention to it.
Yeah, like Turk from Scrubs is in there.
Oh wow, okay.
Donald Faison, Chris D'Elia's in there. It's you know, it's a pretty big cast.
All of Adam Scott's friends.
Yeah, pretty much. But this is like the perfect thing. So like, you like, let's rewind to 2016 at this time of year. Netflix, or not Netflix, Hulu brought out 11/29/63 or whatever.
11/22.
Thank you. That was so heavy.
Yeah.
And it was fun to watch, and I'm glad they did that.
Horror vibe to it.
Well, no, it didn't, but it had that like thriller kind of thing. But it was like, 'tis the season. Like, Stranger Things is going to be heavy this season. You know that.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be.
It's got Sean Astin in it, so it's going to be heavy. Come on.
There's going to be a lot of longing looks. People are going to walk places.
Ooh. I think you're right.
Yeah. Anyway, well, that's Sean Astin's MO.
Right.
But this is just...
Except he's running in it at one point. So I'm like, Rudy, Rudy.
Yeah. He's running to sack the Demogorgon.
Yes.
So...
I don't think you're going to get the Demogorgon.
No.
I think there's going to be something worse.
This time. Probably. But
this Friday?
What?
That's this Friday.
The 27th, yeah. So we'll talk about that in 2 weeks. Maybe we'll talk about it. No, we won't talk about it next week.
You gonna force me to watch it all like that?
No, I'm not gonna do that. Like, I can't watch that one all the way through.
Yeah,
I mean, my feelings of the first one are well documented on this podcast. I'm not. I'll probably do two episodes.
I'm not
a day
off Friday, so I have to wait until Saturday at least. Probably next Monday.
Right. But anyway, this is the perfect thing for them to put out right now. It's fun. It's funny.
This isn't heavy-handed. It's a lightweight, you know.
It's TVMA.
Fun comedy.
You know, it's definitely rated R.
I think that anybody, if you're wondering if your kid could watch it, if they're 12, I'd say yes.
Like, I wouldn't let my 10-year-old watch it.
No. But 12-year-old, because the main character is 12 years old.
My 10-year-old can take a lot of stuff.
Well, right.
Like there's
some gore that's over the top.
Although we started watching Miss Peregrine's House for Cruel Children. And did you watch that one yet?
Yeah, I did.
So it got to the scene where they're eating eyeballs.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm out. I'm done. Turn it off. I don't want to watch any more of this.
Right.
It's like, just close your eyes. I'm sure they won't do that again.
Yeah.
So
it doesn't happen again.
Yeah. But she's like, nope, I don't even want to watch it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, and someone was like, oh, yeah, she'll be fine watching it. It's like, So
yeah, this one, I mean, there's some gore points in there, but I think, you know, with the main character being 12 years old, it's like, it was made for, this could have been PG-13. The gore is what took it up to an R.
The gore and TVMA the F word or whatever. A couple times.
Yeah, the F
that word. Was it. That was really.
Who cares about the F word,
dude,
anymore?
It's such a thing. I mean,
yeah,
it's ridiculous. All right. On that note,
I just want to say it like 5 times really fast. On
please
here.
Don't.
But then you're going to have to,
I have
like,
to put the little
TVMA
E on
us and that.
Hey, special thanks to Daryl.
Frack, frack, frack. Frack, 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 frack. Frackers.
Special thanks to Daryl, our Patreon subscriber. If you guys
Daryl,
want,
you a fracker.
Frack you for sponsoring us, Daryl. But no, if you guys want to help out the show and get more cool stuff like this without having
I'll
Netflix
give you a
sponsor
frackin'
us,
hug.
There's plenty of cool things. If you want to get Infamous Podcast merch, we have a shop on Threadless right now. I'm actually going to do a sale. I'll have more about that next week.
Because it's the old logo now.
But I'm going to have the OG logo and the new logo up.
I like how you did that where you printed off those shirts and gave them to Aaron and Kenny. And it's like, now it's like, well, that's not, it's like, that's the old logo.
Well, I did it on purpose. They're OG
now
guests.
Aaron's going to put that shirt in his booth at Springfield or at the Heart of Ohio Antique Mall. $20 for a nondescript podcast.
So, yeah, well, yeah, what do you
sell
do?
It if you can. I already put mine on eBay.
Well, you had to get an OG one before I got rid of that logo.
Well,
so anyway.
And I'm afraid it's not even going to fit me.
The one I got, like, I did the Tri-Blend one.
Yeah.
And, like, the measurements are all right. It is
kind
of
tight.
It, like,
my,
you know.
My, and this is just a, we can do this on here. This is
all
fine.
Right. Anyways,
a major
guys.
Complaint, shirt companies, 4X is a good idea.
You,
because there are bigger,
breathe,
stockier
right?
guys that like to have a little bit of room to move.
Yeah.
And that, so.
You don't want it to look painted on?
Yeah, I don't want to feel like I'm like, hey, I just came from the gym. How you like my shirt?
Which way's the gym?
Yeah, it's like when you move your arm up and you feel the back rip out.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not good.
So, all right. Well, on that note,
buy our shirts.
Buy our You can buy a coffee mug. You can buy a,
oh, really?
A pillow. You can get a blanket. I'm actually going to order a blanket.
Okay.
Just to have. Actually, I
guess I know what I'm getting for Christmas.
I thought about getting a pillow to put in the comfy chair.
Oh, well, there you
so,
go.
Just to kind of have some branding in here.
Yeah.
Anyway. But,
why can't a billboard out on the highway?
Are you going to pay for that?
We want listeners. Well, you're buying a pillow and a blanket.
I'm going to buy a $12 pillow.
You could get a billboard.
I'm not
going to
do a $3,500 media
yeah.
buy.
Anyway. Just get it on the digital one. That way you don't get charged as much.
That's the $3,500 media buy. The other one is. You know, anyway. All right, guys. On that note, thank you for listening. We will be back.
Thanks
next
for watching
week.
Netflix.
Yep.
Even though they're not sponsoring us.
Thanks for not sponsoring this episode, Netflix.
Bye, Netflix.
Later. The Infest Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. This show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Those amazing banners that go with our show notes, those are designed by Johnny, and the show is mixed and engineered by me. Our intro music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast. To stay up to date on the latest news about the show and find out what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and what we're looking for is help to grow the show to keep bringing you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @JohnnyPodorf, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.